right. Ladies and gentlemen, demons and dogs, welcome back to The Most High Show. We're all three your hosts tonight.
Hello.
Sarah and David.
Yes.
And
Christian.
That's your name, isn't it? Welcome back, Christian. We Thank missed you.
Yeah. Christian the Christian.
It's been a while since I've seen you.
Nice to be back.
Well, it is Happy New Year, almost February. We got snowed out last week. You know, it happens once every few years in this state. But we are in a time of intention setting, making resolutions and setting goals, or maybe not. Each year, it seems like people are less and less dedicated to setting a resolution and just doing their best to survive. So I see things a lot like, I'm not even claiming this year as my own. Like, I'm just going to show up, see what happens. And the crazy thing with that is, despite people not making resolutions, they're still getting shit done and things are still happening in their lives and they're still making changes, but it's not, January 1st has nothing to do with it.
So you like the idea of not making a resolution and just doing the change?
I like the idea of, I don't know, being an antagonist. And that's why we're here tonight. So, yeah, that's the topic of conversation tonight is our resolutions displaced by being at the first of the year. So, did any of you guys set a resolution for January 1st?
Well, let's do a welcome.
Let's do a welcome.
The Most High Show.
We did do a welcome.
Woo! For ourselves.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
And it's a celebration today, folks.
That's right.
It is a celebration. Chad, 2 years.
In a row.
My man. Shout out.
Yeah.
While we're shouting
Love
out
you,
Chad,
Chad.
It is Chad's last official day.
Yes, it is.
As the intern.
Oh, man.
And so.
Change of pace.
You can't say
to all the recovery people watching this show, our boy Chad is looking for a job.
Hook the boy up.
Hook the boy up.
He's very talented. He's a good dude.
A job in recovery.
He'll be there.
Out there. His resume is all over this podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
congratulations,
the thing about
Chad.
Being an intern. You can't be an intern forever.
No, that would suck.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. But
resolutions
anyways.
Are bullshit.
Resolutions
are
bullshit.
Resolutions
Chad
bullshit.
Is not.
Are resolutions bullshit?
January
that's what we're
1st
here to discuss.
Yes, yeah. I'm asking your opinion.
I have found that I have never been successful at any resolution. Resolutions do not instigate change in my life. I resolve to not do this, not do that, and none of it
sticks.
Nothing
sticks. At least sticks long enough to make a change.
Right. The reason why I quit drugs and alcohol is because I surrendered.
Right.
To a power greater than myself.
Yeah, I like that.
So there was no resolve.
There was no resolve because my resolve would always break. Mm. Yeah. I can't keep a promise to myself for shit.
So what you're saying is when the new year comes around, you don't set up a thing that, okay, it's 2025.
What I do is at the end of the year, I usually try to take those last 10 days and create some margin. So it's kind of like a concept where you're usually working in your business, but you need to have a certain amount of time where you're working on your business.
Yeah.
And so trying to dedicate time throughout the year during the week to work on it, and then at the end of the year, it's kind of like a recap to take a look at what's worked, what hasn't worked, what changes need to be made, what adjustments.
I kind of put all that in the same bubble, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's the difference for me is it's a difference between like setting an intention or setting a direction and kind of saying that you do. I do agree we have to have a goal. Organizationally and individually, especially, there's got to be somewhere you're going.
Right.
But necessarily, how do you get there? And then my thing is always that whatever God is, you know, I don't, if the plans change,
and then the goal post gets moved. And we end up doing some really cool things that I never would have planned, which usually is what happens.
Yeah.
I can lay out the plan. Right. Things change and adjust. Opportunities come. Right. Things that are like, oh, this is obviously something we need to do. And if I'm so constrained, it's almost like goals can be an anchor in a bad way, because it doesn't free me up to take advantage of opportunities that might arise. So I do the looking back, what worked, what didn't work, what does need to change organizationally.
Yeah. What about yourself?
I'm on a totally different cycle. Yeah. My year starts somewhere in October.
Yeah.
Interesting you say that, actually.
Really?
Well, what's up with October?
Because, I don't know, I don't want to jump ahead. But
go ahead.
No, come on, let's do it.
So the reason I think, or one of the reasons I think setting intentions at the start of the year is absolutely insane, is because it's the middle of winter. So if you look at the seasons, what the hell do you plant in the middle of winter that's going to bloom and going to grow?
Everything is dead.
Literally, everything's dead. The earth is resting. Like, so why are we all of a sudden this high resolve? Let's get going. Let's get moving.
Right.
When that's not the season we're in.
No one's taking cues from Mother Earth. Like, hey, this bitch is chilling. Why are we all anxious?
So the reason you bring your year starting in October is so interesting is because there's something called the Wheel of the Year. And that's the 8 Sabbats throughout the year. It's in pagan tradition. Mm-hmm. And so there's 8 times throughout the year to have celebration, to celebrate something different.
Okay.
And it is said that in October, that's when we have Samhain or Halloween, right? That is the witch's new year or the beginning of the wheel, but wheels don't have starts and ends. So I don't know how many people view it this way, but in October, that is, I don't know, each Sabbath, quite honestly, most of them have to do with intention setting. Mm-hmm. And so on Samhain, that is one of them, is setting intentions. But even on a smaller scale, every moon cycle is a time to set intentions. And so doing it arbitrarily on January 1st doesn't make sense. I've never made a New Year's resolution.
Really?
No. Wow. Because, what's the point? Yeah. This is how I feel in January. You're telling me after I feel the most insecure about myself after imbibing in all sorts of delicious treats over the holidays that I'm supposed to now. This is what I did growing up. Because in the community I grew up in, we in every January, we would fast something for 3 weeks. Mm. And, people were like, oh, I'm going to get off of Facebook. Or, oh, I'm going to, I don't know. Facebook was a really common one.
Yeah.
But me and other insecure girlies would be like, I'm fasting food. Right. And so I just didn't eat for 3 weeks. And so that's my resolve. I'm just going to get skinny this year. And that's health.
That's probably the biggest resolution.
It is one of the biggest resolutions.
And
my gym is so
resolution.
Packed right now.
And it has not worked. And I've tried.
Yeah. So doing that at the beginning of the year has never made sense to me. Whereas, just wait a little bit till we get to spring, right? Spring cleaning, out with the old, in with the new. Things are blooming. Things are pretty. Depression might be going away,
Seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
Real. It's very real. Get the light. Real. Get the light, guys, if you're feeling that way.
But I think the reason why I say it seems like it happens in October is just, it just, like, if I kind of look at my life and I see that it kind of goes in cycles, And I usually, every year, have some sort of challenge that's existential in nature, not necessarily something literally might be happening, but there's some sort of transformation that's happening internally. And I find that usually by October, November, I'm either right in the middle of that or I've completed that.
Do you think your birthday has anything to do with it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah, you're an October baby, aren't you?
Yeah. I don't know.
You're like, my life literally started in October. Yeah. So every year, that's my new year.
That's what I'm going to do.
I mean, I'm not
my
Christian
new year.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not like astrologically saying that I'm aligned. I've just noticed that when I look back at my life, I mean, I got sober in August. So that's in that area, that time, end of summer. Beginning of fall. So there's something that happens for me in cyclically.
That's funny that you say that, because not to make it all about October, but October is the month that I've been through the years that I've been arrested the most.
You that's should my stay most, away from October.
That's
actually.
My most arrested month.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't even know that until like it was brought to me by a counselor. Like when my case manager at the jail was like, dude, you always break. You're doing good here. There's a cycle here. Your last four arrests were in October. I'm like, damn. Oh.
Is it that you're breaking the law more in October, or you're just
you
more?
Slip up.
I didn't even know it. I had no idea.
You're just worse at criminality in October.
I don't know what that means.
So the question was, did we? And so you did do a resolution.
I know what you guys are saying, right?
Come on.
Hear me out.
Let me say what I gotta say. So I purposely make resolutions before New Year's, but not that much before New Year's, just so I can say when they ask, man, I don't do no New Year's resolutions. Oh. But 2 weeks ago, on the 28th, I stopped drinking coffee.
Right. So, did you really? You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm
so sorry. But that was a couple months ago.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's going all right. It was tough at first.
Yeah.
But I had such a dependency on it. Mm. Plus my health, I got like a pretty big health scare when I went to the doctor. And like the first two things he said was like, chill with the coffee. It's no more nicotine. So I cut them out.
Double whammy.
That's
my favorite meme that goes around the sobriety circles is like spiritual enlightenment, and it's coffee and a cigarette.
Right. There's a lot to that. So I do like, to me, I don't know. There's something about, I guess we make the day, it's year, right? We consider that revolution in January, our new year.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like over the years, knowing that and having that like kind of like fed to me that way, there I do see January as a fresh start of something.
See, I want to know though, like back in time, who decided that this is the day that our calendar starts over? Because it's literally the middle of winter.
It's the middle of winter in North America.
Yeah.
In Australia,
it's the middle of summer. So it's the middle. So why is this the start of something? Like what? Yeah. Who made the calendar?
I feel like I don't know for sure at all, but I've heard, I guess they try to put like a spiritual twist on it, right? And then I think it was like, it seems like
something
everything
to do with Christmas.
Everything to do with like, I guess the battle was like something to do with Christianity, but it was really about the solstice and it was totally pagan and we got it all wrong. So that's always a continual argument. Mm-hmm. But I heard that was our calendar today was some sort of ritualized, did I say it right? Ritualized thing by some religion, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, religion has been like the founder of lots of things in daily life. And so, I think.
And we base our time on it, really, like our daily time, like hourly time.
Oh,
years.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know, BC and AD.
Ah.
Yo. Who, me? All right.
My live feed's on this gate, cowboy.
Which Wi-Fi are you connected to?
You watching Brokeback Mountain over there? My live feed's this gate, cowboy.
Are you on Mosai Media or Alfie?
At
7:22? It's now 7:35.
Oh. I wish you would have texted me. I probably wouldn't have looked at it, though.
They missed some good stuff.
I should. Online, so I don't know if she just didn't know
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what do we do? Should we try to plug something in? No, I don't have a cable that long.
Is it still out? Oh.
Then I would just say stop live streaming and let's just record. And then we'll post the whole thing on Facebook and YouTube.
It's me, dude.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
notorious you're every the, time I get on camera. I always screw it up. There's something to that, I'm telling you.
All right, we ready? Okay.
Okay.
So let's pick it up. I'm going to pick up with, we're going to jump into SMART goals.
All right, let's go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Chad, so you want to cut to me and then we'll pick up? Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Two years, baby.
It's a celebration.
It's with a weird celebration.
That was a bong rip.
I'm too sober. I didn't get the reference.
All right, so we're just recording. All right. Okay, so let's not get confused.
Yes.
That setting intention goals, you know, for some might work, some don't. But one method that we find that does work is SMART goals. I think you put this. Do you know what SMART goals are?
I do know what SMART goals are.
All right. Whatever.
Please explain.
So they're stupid. No. what are they? Sustainable, measurable, specific. Thank you. Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-based. Something like that. I should have like actually listed out these.
Yeah.
But see, Christian, I was at the gym when I put this together, and oh, okay. I thought you were going to polish
it. I don't know this.
You don't know SMART goals?
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Aren't you like a
No, literally. Counselor? My counselor's told me about SMART goals.
I don't know. I don't know.
She's one of your counselors.
He's not that really? Counselor.
That's not my kind of counseling, Sarah.
Yeah, so a SMART goal, number one, needs to be specific. So
okay.
I want to lose weight this year. Okay.
That's not specific.
How much weight do you want to lose? I want to lose 25 pounds of body mass this year or the first 6 months. You set the goal. It's got to be specific.
All right.
Measurable. How are you going to know that you lost it? Well, I'm going to step on a scale. Mm-hmm. That's going to tell me.
Mm.
Is 25 pounds of body mass loss attainable? That's the A.
Realistic. Oh, attainable. I like SMART goals, actually.
SMART goals. is it achievable or attainable, right? So, okay, is this – so in the specific, you would give yourself a timeline for that, right? You'd say in 6 months or in 7 weeks. So is it attainable? And then relevant is what some of it – which is – relevant is what some people say the R is. It aligns with the desired goal with the broader goal. Is it relevant, right? So –
never heard relevant.
Yeah, or some say realistic, and then time-based.
I like irrelevant
time goals. Bound. Irrelevant goals?
Yeah.
They're just arbitrary goals.
Yeah, just stupid.
Easy.
Stupid goals. Like my goal was to shave the sides of my head this year. I already did it. Boom.
Nice.
You did
easy.
It.
Set
it worked
goals.
Out.
Yeah.
It's a it
specific,
worked out.
Measurable, attainable, realistic, yeah. And time.
Yeah. And relevant.
No, it was irrelevant.
So I think that's a good... This is a good thing if you are setting some kind of intention or goal, is to take it through this SMART goal. And you can just Google SMART goals. You know, you don't need someone to... Certainly a counselor or a coach can help you to think through
Follow
that.
Follow it, yeah.
Yeah, but SMART goals, like, really help keep things based in reality. So you're not, you know, setting goals with the fairies.
Right.
You know, when the tooth fairy comes and visits.
You're right.
Not telling her, okay...
Yeah, when the tooth fairy comes and visits, then I will. Yeah, it does really help because it helps. I think what it really does is it helps you to clarify what you're going after. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's yeah. And it really
describes
helps.
It, puts rules to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, like making it specific too. Because mm-hmm. like even, you know, if you're like when you go through in recovery and you're like looking at like right. you do your inventory, right? It's like you can't be vague of like, well, I just hate this person. It's like, okay, but like,
no.
why?
What's that?
And then it's like, well, this is why. Not really. Why? You know, so with your goals, it's like, well, I want to do this. It's like, okay, that's cool. But specifically, what do you want to do? You know, and that.
But why though?
Yeah, but why?
But why though?
But why? Yeah, the chiseling.
Yeah, the endless question. But why though?
Wait,
yeah.
Who does that?
Leslie always goes, but why though? But why?
I love it.
Like, I don't know why. I don't know why. How do we set goals for ourselves?
Well, when the tooth fairy comes.
When the tooth fairy comes. How do we set goals for ourselves?
I mean, I'm not really good on goals. You know, I'm not really good at resolutions or anything like that. Whenever I think about it and I try to put, like, my mind on it, those things kind of fade away. I'll get there.
You're a take it as it comes kind of guy.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, like I wasn't, I didn't.
Because you've communicated some pretty clear, smart goals like, years ago.
What do you mean? Like what was that?
Oh, visions for
yes.
A wellness center right. or visions for these kind of things.
Yes.
And it's like, you'll tell that. Me about it who I'm kind of a, okay, how do we do that? Let's right. do it. You want my help? Let's, you know, well, let's meet every Wednesday and let's make it happen.
I'll drop it all off on them.
Yeah. And then, and then a year later, I'm like, hey, what happened with the,
you know.
But I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Yeah. Right. Because in just like looking at your life, because you've kind of like take it as it comes, when the opportunities come, because you're open,
right.
It's propelled you career-wise.
Yeah.
And so then the goals aren't being an anchor, like what you mentioned at the beginning.
That's what they always are to me. I think if I, like, you know, I'm really trying to get into, like, manifesting things, but to me it was always the opposite. If I said I'm going to do this, then I really, if I put it out loud, mm-hmm. I'll usually fail at those.
No, same.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I wonder if that's, like, an addict thing.
It might be. I would suspect it, maybe.
Unless the goal was more dope.
Yeah.
Never failed that. Well, no, because we're always saying, I'm done.
Yeah. That's right. You say it out loud.
And then the dope appears. Yeah.
One of my sayings was, you know, like in the morning time, we would go, like, get our wake ups, you know, in Philly. And we just pass the same people every day. And all of us are, like, feeling like shit because we're trying to get on, right? And every time somebody would say, yeah, man, trying to get over to that rehab, but just waiting for the bed to open up. that would be my thing. Hey, Dave. Yeah, I don't know what's going on over there at that rehab. But I'm going to do it. Bed. I'm going to get there.
You're going to kick tomorrow.
But it's not like I don't set out to do things that I want to do. You know what I mean? I guess I do the opposite of Smarkles. I don't think of them that way.
Yeah.
You know
well,
what I mean?
It's like, it's hard to conceive of a SMART goal when it's something that isn't even part of your life yet, right? Because if we're going to take, like, health and fitness being a common goal, right? Like, last year, I happened to become regularly active in the gym. I happened to focus more on, like, my diet and my nutrition. It's not something that I set out to do. It literally just started as cool. Like, I was living alone for a couple months. My mental health was at an all-time low. It was not good for me to be home alone. And that was my option, was I would either be at work or I'd be home alone. And if my friends were busy, I could just go to the gym. And that just became like I didn't have a workout plan or anything. I just went and was like, what does this machine do? And like, it kept me out of the house. That was the purpose of it. And then, like, okay, it became a regular thing in my life. And I was like, well, I want to know more of how to do it. And then it kind of turned into somewhat of a SMART goal, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, well, I want to.
But it started organically.
It started organically. Yeah. It wasn't like, I'm going to do this thing. I have things that are like, I want to do this thing, but it's like the more I talk about it, the further away I feel from it.
Right.
Whereas if I don't speak about something, it's more likely to happen.
Some things are like that. Some things are like that.
My whole life is like that. Yeah. Very much. Maybe it's an addict thing too, of just like having all these ideas, you know, and then lacking follow through.
Well, I know, like, I think for the last 4 or 5 years, and like I take it as like a God thing that like for like last year I really felt, and I don't know how it came to me, but like expansion was the thing, whatever that meant. So it kind of laid with me, you know what I mean? And it started unfolding without too much effort for me. You know, I didn't like set out to have it this way and go this big and, you know, have my practice get bigger or nothing like that. I reach more people, but it did. It wasn't an expansive. 224 was big as far as like, you know, like my reach to things, my impact on things, and you know, everything just got bigger in 2024. And then this year, I really felt like,
what's the word?
Me.
Oh,
yeah. Not like, I don't think, I'm not seeing it as selfish.
Me.
Yeah. I'm seeing it like more like health and wellness. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I'm following through with my doctor. You know, I'm taking what they say I need.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the stuff. And like the time where by the time I get tired of things and I put it away, I purposely stay a little bit longer to get an idea of what I should be doing.
Yeah, I had a friend do something similar. Yeah. He would have a word of the year. Mm-hmm. That was his kind of thing. Something similar where he felt like it came from the cosmos.
It just came to me that.
Yeah, right.
I did that one year by having a word of the year. This is hilarious. The word was abundance.
Oh.
I had just gotten out of this abusive relationship, and I was like viewing it as a fresh start. And so, like, I had already painted this thing, and I thought it was ugly, but it had the word abundance on it. So I repainted it in my style, and still said abundance. But then my style was a very trippy aesthetic, right? So then that was the year that I got sober for the first time, and then relapsed and did more psychedelics than at any point in my life. So it was a very abundant year.
Yes.
For drugs. Was not planned. So I don't do words of the year anymore.
Well, that didn't work out.
Backfired. Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
I kept the painting because I'm like, I don't know what it's like.
Yeah. It's a good reminder.
It's cursed.
What about this accountability? Does accountability work?
I think so. I don't know if it's a... I think of accountability when you're very weak, right? Whenever you're like, wherever you need somebody to either watch after you or you need somebody to look after you, you know, like, you know, if I'm accountable,
like
I have got
a stage of development. Right. It's not something that continues through all.
Well, I honestly try to be accountable all the time, right? But whenever, like, when I first started getting clean, that word meant the world to me because I was such a liar. I was such a manipulator. I was very dishonest. So accountability mean, you know, manning up, saying my stuff, being real, and knowing that I'm vulnerable. I might need somebody with me, so I better go get a sponsor. He needs to work with me so I can be accountable to those things. So that's how I kind of picture it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, accountability kind of gets thrown around like, oh, hey, I'm trying to be better at, not being on social media so much.
Yeah.
And I just need you to help hold me accountable.
Right.
And my response is always, I don't have a good time to hold you accountable for this. Like, if you want to do this thing, you either want to do it or you don't want to do it.
Right.
Accountability has always never worked. It's never worked for me because I love, tell me where the lines are.
Mm.
Where is it good boy and bad boy? And then let me get as close to that thing as I can get so I can look over the cliff. So accountability never, the only thing that's ever like, kind of what we're talking about, the only thing that's really ever created lasting change is slowing way the fuck down.
Mm-hmm. Letting it marinate.
Getting into the moment.
Yeah.
And dealing with these things like, you know, in the moment, especially like with some of my process addiction stuff. It's that stuff is so hard because you're literally going into an internal drugstore to get high, and you literally can think your way into situations. You can with chemical, but it's a process addiction like gambling or sex or love or whatever, food. It's so much harder, and I found that I had to really slow down to be like, okay, not right now.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just not going to do that right now. And when I slow down and kind of try to see what's before me that is good, that, and then I kind of stack enough of that together, then I look back and I go, oh, shit, I've changed. Yeah. But accountability and, like, trying to create this future version of myself, it's never worked for me, you know? That's just me. You know, I know people who it does work. I know people who are discipline driven, they're principle driven.
Yeah.
They're hearing me say this and they think it's a crock of shit. But for me, that's the only way that I've ever been able to make radical adjustments and changes in my life.
No, I like that you bring that up, because accountability is one of those things that gets tossed around like it's candy, but it's like, it doesn't work for me either. Because if I need to be held accountable for something, like, it's different, like, outside of my recovery, right? Because accountability within recovery is really important. That's why I go to the same meetings and see the same people, you know, stay connected with, like, the same. I have a routine. So then if I fall out of that routine, there's someone to be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, what's going on with Sarah?
But outside of recovery, where it's like,
but that's you having a program or a system,
that's a framework, a schedule
that creates accountability.
So I think accountability really comes from within, because if I had an external source of accountability where I'm like, hey, I want to you know, I want to finish my book, and then it's like, okay, well, cool, well, did you work on your book this week?
No. That's the worst.
And then, did you work on your book this week? Did you work on your book this week? And it's like, okay, fuck you and the book.
Yes, that's the worst.
I'm not writing it anymore.
I do not like that.
Yeah, so it's like, if someone's asked me, or, you know, something like, you know, when you're a kid and you're planning on, you're going to be nice and you're planning on just doing a chore you weren't asked to do, and then your mom asked you to do it, and you're like, well, no, I don't want to
do
it.
Like,
it's the same thing. That's how accountability makes me feel. It's like, if you're asking me if I'm going to do this thing, makes me feel like you think I won't do it, and so now I don't want to do it despite you. Right. Which is
you
not,
rebel. Like, it's just automatic rebel.
And I'm not saying this is healthy. Yeah. I'm just saying this is how my brain still works. Yeah. And so accountability has to come from within. So if, you know, it comes to working on my book, there's a little voice in me that's like, hey, you haven't worked on your book. And I'm like, I know, little voice, I have not worked on my book. Yeah. I need to work on my book. And then the little voice doesn't go away because it's part of me. And so then I work on my fucking book. Right. You know, like, it comes from within, not externally.
But now,
R.I.P. Billy Mays.
I like saying my things out loud now. I want to do that. I want to announce it, you know, to people that I care about. I don't know if it's really for accountability, but just so, like, I don't feel like I'm trying to hide it and get it done. There's something about that process that I used to keep everything a secret, and then with the hopes that it would just show up and you guys would see the change or something like that.
Real G's moving silence.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like
lasagna.
Yeah, that's exact. I love that line. That's so dope. But now I'm like, I think it's better, and I've been trying it to, like, say these things out loud that I want to happen for me, or I want to do.
Yeah.
You know,
I would say,
I don't know if it's working at all, but I like it. I feel better about it.
Yeah.
And I think there is one of the reasons is accountability. You know what I mean? There's something about that. Like, I post on social media all the good things that are really happening to me in my life. I veer from, like, the bad shit, which there is a ton of bad shit, right? But I want to, like, show what's happening good in my life, and I want that to keep going. Mm-hmm. I want to, you know, these things that I respect about myself and where I've gotten myself, I only want that to get better. So I post it to the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, my friends and everybody can see what I'm doing. And it kind of, inside of me, I think it places a challenge in me somewhere to keep the ball rolling.
Oh, you know
what do you think? Also,
keep all the plates spinning.
Keep it spinning.
Oh, shit. I posted about that yesterday. Yeah. Oh, damn. I gotta tell you how to do this. Spin oh, Lord.
Spin it.
I'll just stop posting about that for a while.
Let me leave everyone forgets. Oop, that didn't work.
Yeah.
That'll stop trending.
We haven't seen you walking with your dogs lately.
What do you mean?
Wait. Well, no, I posted. I swear. Look at my story.
But I think on the note of, like, like posting the good stuff on social media and everything. I think that's like one thing too. Like when people fall into comparison, they're like, "Well, my life doesn't look like theirs." Blah blah blah. Right. You know, and it's like, well, obviously, yeah, because who's posting about the bad shit that happens? But at the same time, you ever like follow somebody?
You post about the bad shit that happens.
What you mean?
Well, you do it in your art and through your poems and things like that.
You wanted a 10-13 me over the last poem I posted.
Oh, no. Well, it wasn't two in a row.
What? I didn't see that.
It was a couple in a row. We both loved the both. Yeah. First off, we both, me and you both were like, we even talked about it. Like,
oh, God.
No, not about that.
No, we talked about how awesome
the poems were and how creative and talented you are. It's like next
level. It's like next level.
Yeah, we were like both going, damn, like this shit is like legit, like really good. But both of them had a mention of
had a tint of something.
Had a tint, yeah.
No, one of them was overtly about offing myself. Yes. That's why that was the old one. And then the other one, I think he just like briefly mentioned it. You know, like
I'm just saying two poems in a row with the mention of that.
Hey,
I'm just going to call.
I saw your last. Everything
it's
all
right? It's not for you. It's more for me, you know? Like, I want to say that I.
Anyway, on my main profiles, not my art profile, I'm not posting about like, oh, like, I don't have any money, you know, like, oh, bank account's negative again. Yeah. Like, that's not, who wants to read that?
I don't want to read, I don't want, you know, I don't want to read that.
The people who are constantly posting about the bad shit in their lives, it's like, god damn, like, I wish you would catch a break, but like, I'd just be muting them because I'm like, I'm like, there's bad shit in my life too. I'm like, social media is escapism.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
right. Yeah.
Let me see
yeah,
what's going good for somebody because I got stuff going bad for me right now. I don't want to see that your car just got repoed. Right. You know, that's sad. I'm sorry, but that's sad.
I would say that my, with any coaching clients, accountability never works.
Yeah.
When they have that internal motivator, then it's really easy to go, here's a suggestion, and then they do it. And then when it's like, this is what I'm trying to work on, and it's like, okay, we'll lay out
that's how you goals. Do it. Yeah, that's how
we'll
you
do all of that kind of stuff. And then it's like, come back the next week or whenever they come back, and it's like, what was the progress? Well, didn't do it, or this happened, or, you know. So I've never found that, like, accountability, because that's what some people want their coach to be is
they want you to be that partner that
and
to like call me out when I'm
clear that like yo like I'm not
that's not how
I'm, I'm trying you tell me where you want to go I'm going to help you to get there but if you're telling me you want to go somewhere and then you're not doing the actions then you don't really want to go there. Where do you really want to go?
That part, because I think that's what makes accountability hard, right? Because it's like you have to find, not everyone can keep you accountable because not everybody is close enough to you to be able to be comfortable calling you out when you're going off the path. Right. But then also it's like, okay, well, you want me to keep you accountable towards this goal. You're not doing those actions, because the question really is that not the goal that you're actually trying to achieve? Yeah. Like, what do you actually want? And not, you know, was this, did you want to people please with this? Did you want to, like, I don't know. People pleasing is the only thing I can think of right now for setting an arbitrary
or comparison. Goal, you see other people doing it this certain way. You think that's what you should do.
Yeah.
So you set these goals and you've never done any internal soul work to go,
right,
do I even want this house?
You just saw it.
Yeah.
You said, just saw it. I like that.
Yeah.
Looks. That's where I should be. That's where I want to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, like you said before, a lot of times I know if I would like, I can't tell you how many sponsors that I dipped out on without saying any, just disappeared on just for the idea that I'm going to have to like be honest or be accountable. And I would just fade off of that immediately. Or, and sometimes it is a dare, you know, my dope fiend mind takes it as a dare, you know, to break it. Mm-hmm. You know, I see that line. Oh, I can't go there. This is the, so this is what we're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly how you get me to do something.
Yeah, that's how I'm
going to
do it.
Yeah. Yes, I'm doing it. I think that's also why I put this scripture quoting our boy Yeshua from Nazareth. Let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. Tomorrow's promise to no one. And I think it's interesting that that is let your yes be yes and no be no. And what it says right before that is do not take a vow. So these are the words of you know, Master Chief, and right. he's saying, "Don't take a vow. Let your yes be a yes. Let your no be a no."
And why would it? Why, you know? Because it's a dare. Like, don't take a vow. Like, don't set yourself up like that.
Right.
You know.
Let
what I mean?
Your yes be yes. Let your no be no. And it's interesting that how many churches are going to have New Year's resolution sermons.
Oh yeah.
You know, we went to a meditation before the end of the year. And we were meditating in this non-duality space of, you know, letting go of your judgment mind. And then immediately after this meditation, the lady goes up there, the monk or whatever, and she starts talking about how to win at your New Year's goals. And I'm just like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, man. I just had me in the spirit world, yeah. man. Yeah. I was just in the spirit world, man.
It's a hard shift.
Yeah. And here is the 20 best goals for 2025.
Yeah.
Please click the link and I'll give a more informative,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
Telling
and it's
how
interesting,
you
too, that, like, you know, Christianity is kind of known as the vow religion, right? Like,
yeah.
you take a vow of silence, or priests take a vow of chastity, or celibacy, yeah. or the marriage vows. It's like, and it's almost like, yo, is this, did you not read the instructions?
Because
the instructions say, and I think like that, when I was in interfaith seminary, and we wrote our own vows.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember really laboring over that, because I was like, I didn't want to create some kind of expectation or something, that framework that pulled me out of the day, that was like important to me.
Yeah.
That I didn't. So whatever I wrote, I made sure that it was wrote in a way that kept me in the moment.
Yeah.
Because
that's the problem with vows. Like, if you make a vow now, right?
Yeah.
You think of it as this lifelong commitment to something where you stake your religion and your morality, you know what I mean? And the next year, everything's different.
Yeah.
But you've already made this vow.
How many people have said to you, like, when they're starting out, well, I'm never going to drink again, or now I'm making this commitment to never drink the rest of my life? And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, you know, you can't really commit to anything the rest of your
life.
That's
what you do not say.
Yeah, the only thing you can commit to is death. That's the only thing you know is finna happen.
That's right.
But what you can do is say, I'm not going to drink today.
That's right. What's today looking like?
What's today look like?
All right.
That's like, okay, I can do today. You know, there's only a few more hours left before.
Right.
And then when it's the next day, just don't drink that day.
Right.
Right? Like, slowing down and making things. I think, when we started this whole thing, I had a completely different idea in mind.
Mm.
And if I would have been so married to the initial idea, we wouldn't be here right now.
Absolutely not.
But I think because I let go, and because I think it's also knowledge of self, which comes through sitting with other people, sitting with therapists, sitting with coaches, sitting with people in my recovery program, that I kind of learn who I am and what really works for me, and then not comparing myself. Because if something works for me, and then I would look at somebody else and be like, well, that doesn't work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to emulate what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm fucking miserable because I'm not getting the results.
Right.
And so that knowledge of self, to know who I am and not be so judgmental of who I am, embracing who I am, I find I move freer.
Yeah, you're moving your way. And, in that way, whatever you're looking at that's attractive to you is more obtainable.
Yes.
When you do it your way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because you're not a carbon copy. We're not carbon copies.
Carbon copies. Carbon copies. We got your carbon copies. Call now. Go to 1-800-carboncopies.com.
Is that your New Year's resolution, is to create carbon copies?
WeSellDoors.com.
You know, I think, like, along with what you're saying, like, one of the things I always tell people is, when you're trying, when you think you need to make a change, or you want to make a change, right? In your head, I'm like, I know you have this painting, you have this Picasso all written out on how your life would be or should be and the plans that it's going to take to make it happen. And it looks really good. And the goals and all that stuff when you're like attempting to change, like when I counsel people in jail or you have all this time to really in your head make that painting. I was like, well, you make it, but like, you know how you take the palette and you got the little, you know, skinny paintbrushes to get the detail. I was like, you do that. Then you dip a big brush in red paint.
And paint something.
And from corner to corner, just put a big splat right through that.
Paint something.
Okay. And then you have to look at that splat and accept that that's God putting his input on your life. Now you got to work. You got to work around that.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? Because you are going to do nothing but adjust. That picture is not going to be like that. But if you adjust to your surroundings and your everyday and you do things like take it one day at a time, then, you know what I'm saying, you can, you know, make the painting your own, you know? Yeah.
Interesting. So I'm going to get some canvases. I'm going to splash paint on it, and then I'm going to give them to you, and then you'll paint something out of it.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to put suicidal poetry on
that. Well, I mean, if that's what you do, yeah.
It reminds me of Cho, like that's how he paints. You know?
One thing that Dean said once when I was interviewing him, and so now it's become a thing that we say to each other, which is, I'm not the doer. I'm doing, but I'm not the doer. So it's like setting goals, but not being too attached to things, right?
Mm.
So I think like that's very helpful for someone like me to have the idea and then just go, okay, now, because I have to convince myself every day to just do what I need to do today, because I'm such a La La Land dreamer, big picture. You could call me with a brilliant idea, and now all of a sudden that's what I want to work on is your new idea,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I need to know that I'm not the doer. I'm just here being my little, I'm just a piece in the thing. And that that helps me, because I think when I look back at my life, I go, damn, dude, I got a lot of shit done. I'm doing things. Like I think I'm a pretty effective human on this planet. And so much of that time of being effective, I was so miserable because I was trying so hard. And it's like once I slowed down and stopped trying so hard, I felt like, dang, I was actually more effective, and I actually enjoyed it. Because what's the point? Like if you're not,
you get caught up in it.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know, yeah, it's not cool.
Yeah. All right, now let's end on this.
We're ending?
We're not ending. Okay. We cannot end on this. Okay.
You don't want to end on society?
We are ending on this, but
oh,
it is not a conclusion. Okay. We are opening another can of worms. Oh, yeah.
All right,
happening.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay.
All right. So this was my brain.
Yeah, he added this. I'm so proud. Mind you, I meant to say, the note we said, let your ass be a yes, because that's what the notes Christian wrote said. But I think it'd be way funnier if that is actually what Jesus said. If any churches are listening,
your donkey is a yes.
Sunday.
Your donkey is the yes.
Yeah, right. How about also like society and culture and a capital? Boy, when
I know you put that in there for real.
Oh yeah.
You know.
How about also like society and culture and a capitalistic consumer-driven mindset to consistently push us towards a more self-help products and improvement and an endless cycle of never not good. Good enough and always having to be a better version of yourself because you're just not being alive is just not enough.
So in English,
what the hell was that, bro?
Capitalist consumer-driven content perpetuating the fake idea of the American dream.
Bam.
That's what we're talking about.
What? Holy shit. I didn't know we was opening up this can of worms. I was just trying to make a resolution, man.
No, that's why I think it's great, because so many resolutions do require money be put down on something. And if you have this idea and you want to improve your life in this way, well, guess what? This person can coach you. This person has the book for it. This person has the product for it. Spend, spend, spend. And you're not going to improve your life because you're not being taught how to make realistic, sustainable changes to your life. You're told all or nothing. Commit all in or you won't make it happen.
You can't talk about ideas without talking about culture. If you just talk about ideas, then it's just, you know, verbal gymnastics. We have to include culture when we're talking about ideas, because culture eats ideas up.
And this culture is the culture of plenty, the culture of a lot. You can't do a little. Little's not enough. That's what we're taught. That's what it looks like, you know? Like, in my experience, there will always be somebody to put you down for the little progress you're making. Like, and if you doubt me, just go look at the comments on social media videos. You know, when people post about their weight loss, they're doing a great job. They're proud of themselves. And there's people in the comments about, well, why haven't you lost this amount of weight? Why aren't you this size? Why don't you look like that? And so then we internalize that and it becomes the, why haven't I lost this amount of weight? Why don't I look like that? Why am I not this size? And so, and it's just, you can copy and paste to whatever situation you need to. Why don't I own a house yet? Why can't I live alone? Why can't, you know, it's like, but, you know, looking back at where I was versus where I'm at now, there is progress, there is growth, but it's been little bit by little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there is a big divide in that type of thinking. Like, this is a real divide, like approaching it the way you just said it versus David Goggins.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you know, versus Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which the guys did. Oh, I don't sleep. I quit sleeping.
Yeah.
I bring my gym with me in an 18-wheeler.
Right.
And I do it all day, and then I go on set. Like, they live, and I think that's really promoted on how to be successful.
But that's also might be how these guys are wired.
That's maybe how they do
because
it.
Because I have friends who are wired that way.
Yeah, me too.
They are just wired that they don't. You know, they can do 4 or 5 hours. They thrive in that kind of environment of challenge and push, and they do really well in that.
Yeah, but people don't allow for that to be one avenue.
Right.
That becomes like, okay, well, that's they the can avenue. Do it, that's the avenue. Avenue. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, if they can do it, you can do it this way too. And it's like, you know what? No, I can't. I need 10 hours of sleep at night. I need 8 hours of sleep at night. I can't go 4 to 5. I can't do, you know, I don't have time to do 2-3 hours at the gym. I don't have time to, you know, cook every day. You know, I have to do what I can do that makes sense for me. So don't tell me that this is the avenue I have to do it or, you know, hire this person, do this service, spend this money. And that's what's, you know, if you can't do the avenue, then you're less than.
My sponsor asked me, you know, we kind of went through the steps on Coda, and then he's like, what do you want to work on now, right? And he wasn't like implying that there were things to work on, but I think he's just asking. Let's set some intention. Mm-hmm. We get together every week. Right. We spend this time
What's
together.
What's going on?
What do we
what
want?
You into?
And my answer after a couple of days, I'm like, I don't want to work on anything. I just want to get better at being, I just want to be me for a little bit. Because over the last 13 years, shit, all my life, I've always not been enough. I've always missed the mark. And I'm just tired of trying to meet this fake version of myself.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And when I try to live in that way, I end up going to dark places to cope and to try to balance shit back out. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. So something, and then we were talking about this on the phone a couple of days ago. There's something in the human condition that we just can't be okay with who we are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that takes a lot of training because our species wants problems. They want to make a problem. That's why like the thought of like a utopian world is impossible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, cause right now I feel that robots could really work for us. Create money for us. It's like, this is my robot. He's going to go to work for me. He's going to make the money. Yeah. And I'm going to work on myself.
Why is your robot a he, bro?
Yeah. Oh, it. Okay. Whatever it is. All right. But I believe.
Your demon dog.
Yeah, my demon dog.
Yes.
We have it to where we could actually do something like that as a society. Uh-huh. But there's no way we're going to do that. Those robots are like, we're afraid that they're going to destroy us.
So is it like just humans? We have something in us that we need to be challenged?
Yeah, because that challenge gives, in our minds, it gives us purpose. You see what I'm saying?
Well, it's like how many TV shows have done like when they have like the robot or the AI or the weird little creature? It's like, what is my purpose? Yeah. It's always the what is my purpose? What is my purpose? That's the theme of the existence of that thing. Yeah.
Like the robot in Rick and Morty. That's
Mr. Meeseeks.
Yeah.
No, there's the robot that's sole purpose is to bring Rick the butter.
Yeah.
That's his purpose, and he's like, Okay, that's all you made me for is to do this butter? Yeah.
But I just feel like, at least in this culture that I was raised in, it's all about, you know, it's never good enough to achieve. Mm-hmm. You have to do more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you get to where you think you want to get, and it's not enough, and it's a problem, and you got to do something different or better.
And it's no wonder why we go and drink or use. Yeah, or
you never get the opportunity to appreciate the successes you've had.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, cool. Well, now I, you know, go from homelessness. Now I have a roof over my head. Cool. But it's not my own.
Right.
Okay, cool. I'm no longer sleeping outside. You know, where I'm no longer bouncing hotel to hotel. Why can't that be enough to celebrate? And now that's been something that I've been working on within myself, is just being proud of myself for accomplishments. It feels so wrong.
It's like, against your...
Like, if I think that I look beautiful one day, or if I think that my progress in the gym has been good, or if I've been being really good about... Because I have a really bad relationship with food. So if I feel like I'm having a good relationship with food, or if I say anything positive about myself, I feel like I am committing a crime.
Right.
Like, I'm not supposed to love myself. I'm not supposed to like myself, because if I do, then I'm just being prideful. Right. I need to check my ego. And I have been told that. I can't tell you how many, and usually it happens around men, but if I am confident around a man, and he'll tell
nothing
me
personal,
he'll, yeah, not I mean,
your
this
hand
man or
keeps
this
coming
man.
Over here. This is literally just pointing at my nose.
You're about to get your
bun.
I'm
going cross-eyed. I got the cross-eyed thing going on.
She's about to pull your bun and throw you off the table. With all these workout muscles. Like,
did you say all my workout muscles? Uh-huh. Anyway, you know, I'll be in a space where I feel comfortable with who I am. I feel comfortable with how I'm presenting, with all these things going on. And then, like I said, usually a man will tell me that I'm being too prideful, and that my ego's too big, or this, that, and the other. And it's like, you didn't know me when I was small. You didn't know me at my lowest. You didn't know me at these points. You're seeing the confident version of me, and my confidence is off-putting to you. My confidence makes you feel small, because you still have insecurities you haven't worked through.
Right.
And so it's like, I don't... Like, initially, I get upset, because I'm like, fuck you. Who are you to tell me to be... You just met me. Don't tell me to be anything
defense.
Different, you know?
But when you walk away
but
from it...
But when I walk away from it, it's
it
like...
It lingers.
Yeah. And it's like, obviously, there's these things going on, but it's, you know, we're just so often pitted against each other that this person... If this person is winning, or if this person has a success, that means that there's less win for me. There's less success for me. And that's not true. All three of us can exceed at the same time, separately, and not take away from the successes of the other person. But that's so counter to where we default, because if you win, like if most high media pops off and it's like this whole thing and we've got 20 people in this building, you know, that's great. I'm not going to be insecure about it, being like, oh, well, Most High's doing this, and I'm like, who am I? Yeah. Like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Ah, damn, now I'll never publish my book. Not related.
That's nothing to do with
it. But that's how things get pitted.
You know what? Like, to me, what you're describing, right? Like, when somebody tells you to, like, don't think too highly of yourself, basically, right? Mm-hmm. That is us as humans taking a good thing like humility and being humble, and taking it totally somewhere else to where you cannot, for you to say, I did something, I like the way I look, right? Oh, that's, your ego's like flying with you, or you're being arrogant. Oh, I mean, I love the way I look today, or I'm doing really good today. I'm really succeeding. I really feel good about this, you know? People will take that as like you're bragging on yourself, or you need to chill out, or that kind of thing. Yeah. But it comes from, you know, the idea of like being humble. You know, being
it was like a misunderstanding of what it means.
Yeah, well, that's what we do with every single thing, though.
Yeah,
we take all these good things and we turn it into something else. You know what I mean? I mean, I look at the Word of God as a beautiful, awesome thing that's like really changed my life. But at the same time, I know people were preaching to slaves and
keep them
keep them slaves. So like that's how we. Twist it all the hell up. That's how people do it, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I think like there's always, I think more recently I've been able to kind of see myself as dope, you know, been like, yeah, I'm freaking dope.
Yeah.
But without the added part of it, you know? One thing is like being around other people who are dope, you know, and getting, and
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Take it easy.
You know, but there is always inevitably with every like positive thought of myself, there is that there's an equal and opposite reaction that's saying, yeah, but
yeah,
a year ago you were this, or just give it time and you're going to
screw it up. Yeah.
You know, and are you really that dope? Because you're really like, you know, only this many people seeing your thing, or, you know,
all that type of shit.
Yeah. It's almost, it's like this equal. Yeah. So it's like, that's what humility is thinking less about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not thinking less of yourself, but less about yourself.
I love that.
Because if you, like, I heard something recently that was, if you are only aware of your faults, you are not fully self-aware. Mm-hmm. Because if you're fully self-aware, you're aware of your strengths, you're aware of your weaknesses. They both exist. Everyone has both.
Yeah.
But if you only know your weaknesses, you're not fully self-aware. And so if you focus on your weaknesses, you're also not being humble. You're just being a martyr or playing the victim or being self-deprecating. And these aren't beneficial things to be. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, being egotistical, being arrogant, those are not beneficial things to be either. You got to be somewhere in the middle.
Always in the gray.
Yeah.
You know, but I think like whenever you're saying that, I think about when we were talking about like how to reframe. Like the benefits of reframing things.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, you know, I guess for, you know, trauma reasons and stuff like that, we kind of like marinate on the things that like hurt us or we didn't like or like, you know, betrayed us or all that kind of stuff, right? Even like in even in the most abusive situations, right? The reality is there was some good in there too. And all I'm saying is like, pay attention to that too, because it doesn't make the bad doesn't make the good things disappear. But our minds work that out because we, in remembrance of things, we like our perception pulls the darkness out and exposes it. And like this is the reason why I am, you know. So when a lot of times they'll be reframing it as, you know, somebody's talking to me because they'll say, you know, but my mom did this and that too. You know, I was like, all right, that's real, man. That really happened.
Yeah,
that's not fake. You know, those things, that is part of your reality too. So like, to me, that's kind of like giving both things its due respect.
Yeah.
And I think that makes...
That's non-dual thinking.
Right.
But the problem is there's a whole self-help industry out there that's not looking at us.
No, they're going to pin that out. They're going to pin the darkness the out.
Because that's how you're monetizing.
That's how we can fix it.
And that's not to say either that self-help is an evil industry or blah, blah, blah. It's just everything in moderation.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this is where we're just looking at things in the extreme for the purposes of this conversation.
True.
Yeah. Like if you want to, one thing, I think like breaking patterns is a huge thing. And I think a way if you want to break patterns, one thing to do is start with really small. And it could be the order in which you do things in the morning. So if you usually wake up and go make a pot of coffee, maybe instead try something different.
No, I love that. Yeah.
Small incremental pattern breaks. And I think those things end up leading to larger. And I think what people want to do is break this huge pattern they have in their life.
Yeah.
That they don't like anymore for whatever reason. It's not serving them anymore. They want to change it.
They want it to change to be big.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know,
starting small with small patterns to say, okay, maybe just incremental changes. And I think that's the gift that like we have being in recovery is we're around like, you know, what do you say? The Lord's misfits. You know what I mean? Like we are like the salt of the earth in a way, I think. You know, because
can I be Lot's daughter? It's a pillar of salt.
Yeah. The daughter or is it the wife?
It's the wife.
The wife. I don't want to be Lot's daughter.
That's a whole story. I take that back.
I don't want to be Lot's daughter.
You have to reframe
that. She has single
dad. If you guys don't know the story of Lot and his daughters, please look it up. Or don't. I read it as a child. It traumatized me.
Yeah. But we're in this community of people and we've all been wounded so terribly by life. And we've all been forced to recreate our life in such drastic ways that when we talk to each other, there's such a care and respect and sacred nature,
love, understanding. Like that's the forefront.
These relationships,
yeah,
that we have, that I think it makes us really, you know, I do. I think we're like kind of like we're in on the joke, dude, and the rest of the world is kind of not. And it is to your point. What a terrible thing that we've all experienced and put ourselves through and been the result of trauma that we didn't put ourselves through.
Mm.
But yet look at the gift and the love that we are surrounded by now.
That is just as real.
It's just as real.
You know what I mean? That it's very important to know.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I think in moderation, you know, I think it's almost,
moderation. What's that?
Well,
the M word.
Is that where you switch, from cocaine to Adderall? Is that moderation?
That's like two six packs and a joint.
Yeah,
that's
moderation. That's a heroin addict.
Yeah, that's harm my
reaction.
Rehab.
That's harm reduction right there.
You made me forget what I was going to talk about, dog. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're wrapping to the end.
And it's going to be, you know, I guess we got to let the folks know.
We're taking a hiatus.
Oh, yeah. Hope y'all liked it. Yeah. Hope you're hungry for nothing.
That's how committed we are not setting goals. We're fucking done.
Yeah. We're just changing the pattern a little bit, guys. All right.
Yeah. We just take a break, like
what
you said, right? We usually take a pause.
Yeah. Every year we kind of like say, fuck you guys. We're tired. We need a break. Just kidding. No, we are. This is going to be our last show until March.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We're going to regroup, pre-plan, go to a spa, maybe. Probably not. Would like a massage.
Maybe a karaoke night in between there would be fun.
What do you think? Maybe.
I was thinking you singing karaoke.
Yeah, my little country songs.
Well, the first time she was up there doing karaoke, she was shaking, like, so
nervous. Was it a challenge? Was it really, you know, you getting on the mic, was it a thing? I love
it. And then once the song started and she started singing, it was like, all that was gone. It was so cool.
Yeah, I do be shaking. I'm an anxious bitch.
Yeah.
and we're
saying goodbye to my dude, man. Damn, bro.
Yeah, and don't forget recovery people.
Yeah.
He's looking for a job.
Man's looking for some work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let's thank the donors and supporters, people who make this possible. Thank you to everybody who shows up on Fridays.
Thank you, audience.
Hanging out with us. And thank you, Sarah, for faithfully
killing 224.
Yeah.
Killed it.
Yeah.
Killed it. You made the show.
This is the most high with the H.
Hey, that's right.
Show.
That's most high with the H show.
Yeah. So, this has been an episode of The Most High Show.
Bing, 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 bing.
Make sure we get a lot of claps. All right, we got to do this picture quickly because Bella and I got to go.
Oh, shit.